Hi, this is Jez Frampton, and welcome to Demand and Desire, the Art and Science of Branding. In this edition, we take a look inside sponsorship from probably the best seat in the house, Formula One. Formula One has become nothing less than a circus. Thousands of companies take part as sponsors, and many more look on with envy, desperate to get inside that rather special little world. And we were very lucky to be invited to the Brazilian Grand Prix as guests of Infiniti and Red Bull. Their head driver, Sebastian Vettel, is the world champion, and they won the Constructors' Championship as well. But why do companies get involved in Formula One? What benefit does it bring to their brands? And how do you create an experience which bridges between one brand and another when the brand that you're trying to get involved with, i.e. Formula One, is so powerful that it could easily eclipse you? How do you make sure that your experience stands out? And how do you make sure that people walk away from that weekend with not just a positive feeling about how well they've been looked after, but with some additional understanding or message about what their brand is about and why you should get involved or continue to stay involved with them? There are myriad reasons why you might get involved, from just simply being able to create name awareness. Santander Bank used Formula One extremely well for that in their initial sponsorship with McLaren. They have now moved on and are indeed sponsoring both McLaren's drivers, Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton, and also the Ferrari team. Other brands come into Formula One because they want to reinforce something about their values. Perhaps they want to be seen as more dynamic, more technological, more into innovation, whatever it is that they may be trying to state. Some brands come into it because it's a great way of demonstrating the technological prowess of their products and services by actually providing, it could be electronics, it could be telemetry, it could be whatever it may be to the teams. Other companies get involved because it's a fantastic opportunity to entertain and spend time with their big clients. We took some time out to speak to a number of different people. First of all, Andreas Siegel from Infiniti, asking him why it was that they'd got involved and what it was that they were trying to get out of the association with Red Bull. Secondly, we spoke to Alex Pinheiro, the managing director of Interbrand in Brazil, talking not just about Formula One, but about wider things Brazilian. Finally, we got an opportunity to talk to Sylvia Keller, who works for Infiniti Performance Team, which is a group of people who effectively act as the bridge between Red Bull, the racing team, and Infiniti as the sponsor, helping Infiniti to create an experience for their guests which brings the best out of their brand and also gives their guests the opportunity to learn about Red Bull and really make the connection between why Infiniti and Red Bull are working together. So we're sitting outside the Red Bull, well, motorhome, if you can call it that, here in Interlagos in Brazil. And I'm with Andreas Siegel, who is the global director for Formula One for Infiniti. It's a great honor to be here, Andreas. Tell us a little bit about why Infiniti got involved in Formula One.
Jess, thanks for being here. It's great having you here. I think the main purpose for us is this is part of our five-year business plan we call midterm plan. And we want to grow the business dramatically, threefold in terms of volume. But in order to grow it, we need to go in places we've never been before. We need to almost move from the northwest to the southeast on the map of the world. And we looked into places that would make sense. And one of the best one to give us this kind of like a global platform for racing brand awareness is Formula One.
So you obviously went through the process of looking at different teams. Why the relationship with Red Bull, apart from the fact that they're at the front of the pack, I suppose?
That helps. Winning always helps. But, I mean, first we looked into why Formula One. And as an automotive premium performance brand, we said, okay, motorsports makes sense. But then we needed to look into a different way in, because other Japanese brands going out of the sports, we thought there must be a way of entering in a smarter way. And so we looked at the realities from an engine point of view. We have an alliance between Nissan and Renault, so That's a good starting point, but that also limits your choices. You have four different engine suppliers on the grid today. Then, of course, we want to have a winning team, because you see it around here. This is where all the action is. And then, but the most important thing is, I think you also want someone who is kind of like at the same wavelength and has the same chemistry that you have.
So you'd say that one of the things that's behind a successful sponsorship partnership is this kind of sense of shared values and a vision that fits with what you're trying to do. I mean, obviously, you don't want Red Bull going one way when Infinity's trying to go the other.
Exactly. And it's funny, I can show you old documents, us working with Inner Brand a couple of years ago, where we looked at other challenger brands, if it's Apple in the early days or Virgin or Red Bull. So they've been in our internal presentations as a guiding star before. So it's not a coincidence that now we work with them. But also, I think we need to make it more true from a technical point of view by saying, what can we bring to them that actually enhances their life? Because they don't have an automotive kind of powerhouse behind like a Mercedes or Ferrari. And I think that's another area of interest for us. You'll see more next season.
So this actually works well for Red Bull as well, because it connects them in to all of the capabilities and resources of Infiniti and Nissan as a whole.
Exactly. They have a certain need of different capabilities. And if you look at what we can bring with our battery and curse kind of experience, it's a great area that both they're interested in and we would be happy to jump in.
So it's more than just a case of you sticking the logo on the front of the car or on the front of the uniform, shall we say.
Yeah, it's a starting point and it gives us great exposure. And you have every weekend 520 million people watching those stickers. That's great. But of course, we want to go deeper. And it's expected from us to also go deeper and show what we can bring.
So this isn't just about consumer awareness, is it? This is actually about relationships with your dealers and the trade as a whole, I would assume.
Exactly. It really works on two dimensions across the world and on all level of the purchase funnel. So if it's media activities, if it is ride and drives with media or customers or stakeholders, bringing people here, feeling the sound in your stomach in the garage, it's something we couldn't do otherwise. Speaking of the engine.
And there are the engines. So if you were going to give anyone some simple advice on whether or how to get involved in Formula One, what should be the things that they should be thinking about for their brand?
I think one is always look at what you want to stand for first. In our case, if I would boil it down to two words, it's premium and performance. And I think you could also summarize Formula One in premium and performance. I think that was a starting point. And I think then the next thing is, you can't always predict a winning team, but I think it's better to be maybe smaller with a winning team than big all the way down on the grid.
Well, you certainly got into the right place at the right time, Andreas. I really appreciate your time, and we might have a race to go and watch.
Exactly. Thanks for being here. Let's see the race now.
Thank you very much.
So I'm here with Alex Pinheiro, who is the managing director of Interbrand in Brazil. And Brazil has an incredible history with Formula One, doesn't it, Alex?
It does. And I was wondering, why is that? Because we've had Pache, maybe the first one, Fittipaldi for sure. Then Piquet was an era. Then obviously Senna, amazing. And now Massa, Barrichello. But why is it that Brazil has, top racers when we don't have such a tradition for driving here? It's funny.
So it's a big event for Brazilian businesses as well as obviously for Formula One as well, isn't it?
This is huge. I think this might be the single biggest event in São Paulo for sure, maybe in Brazil. It really attracts a lot of business people and there's a lot of entertainment going on around the race. So it's huge for us, very, very big.
How do you see sponsorship working for companies in the context of Formula One?
Obviously, the sponsorship for companies that are somehow related to the sport are even stronger than the ones that are distant. So a bank, definitely. Petrobras for Brazil is very strong. Funny, Itaú, a very big brand and company here in Brazil, has not gotten involved with racing. Neither has the other big bank, Bradesco. Petrobras is there for an obvious reason. And I think it's still very strong for sponsorship. It has return on investment, for sure.
And this is a big event for Brazilian business and Brazilian people, as we mentioned. One of the next big events that's coming up, of course, is the World Cup.
We're both excited and scared about the World Cup because there's a lot of infrastructure to put in place before it really can happen in a decent way. And Brazil is very focused on that. Many companies are already starting their promotional efforts around the World Cup. It's only 2 years away, almost 2.5 years away, so it's not a lot of time. The stadiums are being built, the hotel infrastructure, the airport infrastructure is still being built. And it's a big question mark. Are we going to make it? Is it going to be good for Brazil, you know, or is it going to be one of our big failures? I think it's going to be big. I mean, we are football. You know, Brazilians don't go to the World Cup to play it. They go to win it. So when Brazil doesn't win, it's failure. Brazil is meant to win a World Cup. We feel that, really. So imagine having a World Cup here in Brazil. We have to do a very good job, not only before, but at the World Cup, you know, playing the World Cup.
So are you prepared to make a prediction as to who might win the World Cup in Brazil?
Of course it's going to be Brazil.
And what about a prediction about who might win the race this afternoon?
Well, definitely Red Bull. I mean, these guys have an edge on technology that I think the others are at least 2 seconds behind. But Brazil was cheering for Massa. They were hoping that Massa would make his first victory this year in Brazil. That's hopeful, you know, wishful thinking, I think.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, and it's fantastic to be here in this amazing circus. It's just amazing for brands and for business and for, you know, celebrities. It's just amazing.
So we're in the car on the way back into town after the race, and I'm very lucky to have with me Sylvia Keller, part of the Infiniti Performance team. They're different brands, aren't they? Because Infiniti obviously is an upscale car brand, and Red Bull, of course, is a high energy sports drink, and the two come together on the racetrack. How do you make sure that you give something to the people who have come on behalf of Infiniti, which kind of connects through that? You had people who were dealers there. You've got people from all different walks of life effectively walking through the door.
I think it's more for all guests that we have, or for anybody that's involved in the partnership. It's more about performance, but also about enthusiasm and winning culture. So with Red Bull Racing, obviously this year has been absolutely fantastic on the winning side, on the enthusiasm that we've created and the enthusiasm that comes from the team, but also on the performance and the Infiniti-inspired performance end of it. We want to perform. We want to perform with Red Bull Racing. And in comparison to other teams, they are a very easygoing team. So there are some teams that have more rigid structures, which is fine as well, and it works for them. But from the initial Red Bull party culture, that's where, you know, it still has its ways now. And I think for Infiniti and for a luxury brand to connect with something a little bit more edgy also makes it more inspiring.
It is incredible because, of course, when you walk along and all of the garages, they're the only ones that play music. It seems to have a very special culture. Do you think that's something that the other teams actually envy now?
I think some will, yes, indeed. There is a song, the Barbara Streisand song, that was really big this summer, and the boys from the team, the engineers and the mechanics, actually made it. Instead of Barbara Streisand, it came Martin Whitmarsh. So they are actually...
Who is the chief of the McLaren team, is that right?
Exactly. And so every time, you know, they have a team photo or something happens, the Red Bull Racing boys would actually play that song. So they do cheer on the other teams at the same time as, like, taking a jolly.
Incredible esprit de corps. So I think, you know, any good brand generally has a fantastic culture associated with it. Where do you see things going with Infiniti over the next few years? I mean, this is obviously, you've had a fantastic start, great first year. What are going to be the challenges going into 2012 and beyond?
I think in terms of challenges, the main one is to maintain and create more buzz Like, we've had this fantastic first year. We've had so many local markets, or all of the local markets that we've gone to, where the races are taking place, but also where we aren't yet, such as here in Brazil. We got media from Mexico involved, and we actually created something for them, although they don't have their own races. So on that side, it was a fantastic first year to create the bus, but maintaining that level of greatness and that level of wanting to get involved is our challenge at the moment, planning for 2012. So it will be hard, but looking at how many requests we already have coming in and how happy the guests have been, and also the journalists that we've entertained, I think we are in good shape for the next few years.
What advice would you give to a brand who was considering coming into Formula One? What kind of things does it take to get it right?
I think the main thing is to fully commit yourself to it. That's, you can't just go halfway. So if you want to make it happen, then it's not just having to come a sponsorship or a partnership forced down from a global team that thought strategically this is a fantastic idea, and then the markets where that have to pay for the sponsorship but also want to execute on it don't want to because they didn't like it and they weren't considered in the first place. So full commitment from all sides and support at the same time is the key.
If you get an opportunity to go to a Formula One weekend, you really should take it. Obviously, from a branding perspective, you are surrounded by many of the world's most famous brands, and it's interesting to see how they use this single event to be able to create different perspectives of who they are, to create connections between the sport and themselves is interesting in itself. The guys who actually create the experiences for the guests at Formula One demonstrate how experiences should be created and how hospitality should work. I think pretty much everybody that I spoke to over the period of the weekend felt that they were getting good value for money and that it was certainly helping them to achieve their objectives, whatever they may have been. Thank you very much for joining me, Jez Frampton, the CEO of Interbrand. I look forward to talking to you again on the next edition of Demand and Desire.